You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word.
The romance of Ruth and Boaz is one of the most beautiful stories in the Word of God. It's a real romance, complete with an honorable warrior who fights for the hand of a beautiful woman from Moab who has humbled herself to care for her poverty-stricken mother-in-law. Boaz moves heaven and earth to get the right to marry Ruth. And in their story, we see a picture of Jesus' love for us and the provision that he makes as our kinsman redeemer. We'll hear more about it today on Through the Bible in our study in the third chapter of Ruth, beginning at verse 4. And by the way, it's no secret that this is one of Dr. McGee's favorite books of the Bible. You can hear it in his voice. He once said it reminded him of his romance with his own wife, whose name, by the way, is Ruth. The story of Ruth, as Dr. J. Vernon McGee has told us, happened during a very sad and dark season of Israel's history. Yet, even in such times, God moves in marvelous ways to work out his plans for his people and the world. Here's proof of that. A letter from the Bible Bus. It comes from a brother in Christ from India who joins us on the Bible Bus in his language of Assamese and writes, I'm 30 years old and a regular listener of your radio program. In my hometown, evangelism work is banned by some anti-Christian groups, and because of it, I never heard about Jesus Christ. But by his grace, one day I came across your radio broadcast and the Word of God deeply touched my heart. Through it, I received Jesus Christ into my life. Before knowing him, I was living in turmoil and was very tired following the rituals of my earlier faith. But now I have found the truth in Jesus and have peace in my heart. Well, that's a great testimony of how God's Spirit transforms our lives, isn't it? Now let's pray as we come to our study. Father, thank you for your marvelous redemption as we see it in the book of Ruth played out and in our own lives. Please ring it loud and clear in our hearts as we receive your word now. We ask that many more will come in faith to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come back to the third chapter of the little book of Ruth, we find now that we'll be on the threshing floor of Boaz. And to understand what takes place here, we spent a great deal of time last time talking about the strange law of that day, which made it necessary, in fact, it was very essential, that Ruth really be the one to propose to this man Boaz. Though it's obvious that he is in love with her, they are in the awkward position. She's a widow. She must claim a kinsman redeemer. Now, this man, for those few weeks that he walked into Bethlehem with her every day, he was sweating it out for the very simple reason. We'll find today that there happened to be another kinsman really closer than this man Boaz. And it could have been very easy for Ruth to have said to Boaz, if he had even opened up the subject, well, you see, it's nice of you to want to do this, but I'm after this other man. I'm going to claim him. I'm not going to claim you. Well, Boaz has to wait until she gives some indication that she wants to claim him as her kinsman redeemer. And then that threshing floor was a very public place in that day. The families that were involved came around the threshing floor. The wind would come up in the afternoon and they would work madly, work like beavers, pitching the grain up. The chaff would be blown away and the good grain would fall down. Then anywhere between sundown and midnight, the wind would die down. When it did, why, they ceased from their labor. There'd be no use to pitch it up in the air because it would blow right back down where it was. So they then would have a great feast. You see, they hadn't taken time out for the evening meal, but now they have a religious feast It's a time of thanksgiving to God. And many of the nature psalms are connected with this feast. They would sing them out there. You see, they brought God into their business, into every relationship of life. And so this was a great time of celebration, a great time of thanksgiving to God for an abundant harvest. Many of the psalms apparently were used at this time. Now, what Naomi is saying to Ruth, she's instructing her now the procedure she's to follow. First, she was to wash herself. And these are steps that you and I take when we come to Christ. First of all, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God must cleanse us. That's one of the values of the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It has a sanctifying power, the word of God does today. That's the reason we're trying to give the word of God out. It touches the hearts and lives of the unsaved, and they see they need cleansing. Christ said to his own, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And that was the first step. She was to anoint herself, anoint thee. Get out that bottle of perfume, my son, gave you before he died, and use it lavishly, because this is a very important time. And then put thy raiment upon thee, and then get thee down to the floor. Let him know. The trouble of it is, and I appreciate Naomi very much, she's a very straightforward woman. She says, I've been watching this man. He's brought you home every day, and his hands are strapped to his side. He can't move, and you're not making any move at all. Now, I want you to get down there and let him know. Let him know you claim him as your kinsman redeemer, for you are the one to do that. Now, friends, Christ died for you. We can talk about the seven last words of Christ from the cross, but he needs a word from you. And the word from you is a word of, do you trust him? And if you do, why don't you tell him that you do? If you love him, why don't you tell him that you love him? If you want to serve him, why don't you tell him that you want to serve him? How far removed so many today are from him, and he's as close as hands and feet and breathing today. But we need to let him know. I told about the young man, I told it so hurriedly last time up in Fresno, California, where I'd spoken to a Christian Endeavor convention, and I'd gone in where those that had accepted Christ had gone and had a word with them, and then there was another room where those had gone who dedicated their lives, and I'd had a word with them. When I came out of the auditorium, it was in the days before it was air-conditioned, and it was a hot night in summer, took off my coat, and I started walking across that big auditorium, and I saw a little delegation of young men coming toward me. When they got there, one of the young men that was a spokesman, he said, would I talk to them for a few minutes? And of course I would. And they said, we brought this fellow, and they called him by name tonight. We've been arguing with him. We've been trying to get him to accept Christ, and he just doesn't make a decision. We thought maybe you would talk with him. And I began to put to him, you know, I said, you believe the Bible? He said, yes. I said, you mean to tell me you believe that story about Noah and a flood? Oh, yes, he said, I do. I said, well, what about the story of Jonah and the fish? He said he believed that. Well, I was a little put back, because generally you can get a good argument with a college student on one of those. And so I said, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Or did you believe he died on the cross? He said, yes. I said, do you think he died for you? He said, yes. Well, now, my course that I had in personal evangelism never went any farther than that. I stopped, and I wondered what to say next. The fellows stood there. Finally, one of them broke the silence by saying, that's what we've been trying to tell him, that Jesus died for him. And I just finally blurted out, and I said, young man, will you accept Christ as your Savior? And he said, yes. That's what I've been wanting to do. We just got down on our knees, and that young man prayed right through to the Lord that he'd save him. He told him, and that's what he'd been wanting to do all along, and he just didn't know what to do. I'm of the opinion we got many people in our churches today that have really never told him that they trust him, that they love him, that they want to serve him. Now, this is the thing that Naomi said, get thee down to the floor. Go down there and let him know. And she says, but make not thyself known unto the man till he have done eating and drinking. In other words, wait till the work day is over. You don't interrupt his work. And then when they're having this wonderful feast of thanksgiving to God for an abundant harvest, don't interrupt that. But it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now the men in that day would lie like spokes around the threshing floor to protect the grain from any marauder during the night, or from anyone else, for that matter, any thief that wanted to come in. And they were lying like that, which meant their head was up toward the grain, but their feet were just out like spokes all the way around. Now what Naomi says, you go, put your feet up toward his feet, but you pull his cloak down over you that he has there. He'll be warm, you see, from the work of the evening, and he won't want it, but during the night he'll get cold, as it does in desert country. And so this is what happened. And he said, and uncover his feet and lay thee down, he'll tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. Now, Naomi's not advising her to do something wrong, as some folks seem to think. Naomi happens to be her mother-in-law. This girl was married to her son who died, and you can be sure of one thing, she's just not even about to do a thing like that. And now this girl, Ruth, I think she does this reluctantly. She said, oh, I don't want to let him know. Maybe he wouldn't want to marry me. She's reluctant to take this step. I think it was a strange law for a woman from Moab to find out that she's to go and to make the overture. But she says, all that you'd command, that you say, unto me, I'll do it. And she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Now I'm reading verse 7. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down. You see, down at the foot where these men were lying all around the grain, why, they had put down a cloak, because during the night they're going to pull it up. And so what happened was this, it came to pass at midnight. The man was afraid. What happened was he reached down for his cloak, and we're told here he turned himself. Behold, a woman lay at his feet. You see, just reached down to get that cloak. It wasn't handy where he had put it. And so he felt somebody else's feet that were poked down there toward his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now what she's saying here is this, you are my kinsman redeemer. I claim you as my kinsman redeemer. And friends, I think this is one of the loveliest things that you have in the Word of God. This is romance, and let me tell you, this is real romance. Here is this very fine, outstanding man of war, man of law, man of wealth. And here is this lovely, beautiful woman of Moab, a helpless, poverty-stricken, and all of that. And he's fallen in love with her, but he can't say anything. She has to claim a kinsman redeemer. She could have brought him into court, brought him before the elders. But Naomi arranged it like this, says, you go down there and let him know. And so she said to him, you're my kinsman redeemer. I claim you. And you can well understand that's going to make him happy, because listen to him. Verse 10 now of chapter 3 of the little book of Ruth. He says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Now listen to him. He says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. Sounds like an old-fashioned shouting Methodist, does he not? But I tell you, this hasn't made him unhappy at all. This is what he's been waiting to hear, and it's come in a most unexpected way. It's quite interesting in this little book how Ruth appears on the scene. He'd never dreamed that there was such a vision of loveliness in this world. And of all places, he walks out in his field one day, and there are a bunch of poor people gleaning in his field, and he sees her. And it's love at first sight. He said, "Who in the world is she?" "Why," they said, "you ought to know who she is. She's that woman that came from Moab with Naomi. Her name is Ruth." "Oh," he said, "I've heard of her." The others had told him about her. And he could not believe that a person that so many good things had been said about her, that she could be as lovely as that. And he fell madly in love with her. Now he's wondering what she's going to do. He's been busy working at the grain all day. I have a notion that her vision passed before his eyes several times that afternoon and evening while he's working. And he lies down. He's weary from the labor and his servants there. And during the night, he reaches down, and there's a woman's feet up against his feet, poked toward his. And he was looking for his cloak, and he said, "Who in the world is this?" "Well," she said, "I'm your handmaiden. I'm claiming you as my kinsman redeemer of all unexpected things." And I imagine that he waked up the whole top of the hill when he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." This is the thing that I'm sure the gossips in Bethlehem had said. When Naomi came back with Ruth, I'm sure gossips always do things like this. They must have said, "Well, now, she's a beautiful girl, isn't she? Well, you just watch her. She'll start chasing after every man in Bethlehem. Not a man will be saved." Well, the interesting thing was, Naomi had told her that you're ostracized. You're out. No one would be interested in you. And Ruth has accepted that, and she hasn't made a move in any direction. And she's passed by the boys because she has felt that it'd be perfectly meaningless because they couldn't be interested in her. But here is a man now that says he loves her, and he wants to be the kinsman redeemer. And he says to her, "It's been obvious in this town that you haven't been out chasing the boys. You haven't been chasing around looking for a husband. That's been obvious." And that added to the fact that she's claiming him now as a kinsman redeemer. It means that she wouldn't have done it if she hadn't meant business by it. Now listen to him. He says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest." And this is one time that I must say that Boaz, to me, sounds as if he's not only being very sincere, but he's not making a great sacrifice at all. He says, "I'll do all that you require." You bet he will. He's delighted to do it. He says, "Now listen to this. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Now this is remarkable. When that girl came back to Bethlehem, friends, as a Moabitish woman, that little town had its eye on her. They were watching her every move. And before long, people had to admit, "Why, this woman has given up everything in the land of Moab, and she's made a stand for God. She's taken a stand for God. She trusts the Lord God of Israel, the living and true God." And they began to commend her, and they began to say what a wonderful person that she was. Now, that's unusual for a little town. I was born in a little town. I lived in a little town. I had my pastorate in a little town at first. And I rather agree with the statement. Somebody said, "God made the country, man made the city, but the devil made the little town." I hate to say that, but I happen to know that a little town can just ruin a person. I talked to a girl. She lived on the wrong side of the railroad tracks. Her problem was she didn't know who her father was. And she had a wonderful mother, by the way. And she was very attractive, had personality, and the most attractive young man of the little town. He fell in love with her, wanted to marry her. But I tell you, his parents came to me one night. My, they didn't want that to take place. I tried to reason with him. I said, "Why, he couldn't have made a better choice than that." And they got him out of town. They got him away some way. That girl came to me brokenhearted. She said, "What shall I do?" I said, "Leave this place. Go up to a city and start over again." Several years after that, I was in that city in a meeting, and there she was sitting with a fine-looking young man. She told me, said, "That's my husband." They got married. He loved her. May I say to you that the little town of Bethlehem was gossiping, but it was good gossip. And there's not much good gossip going around. They said, why, this is a marvelous person. Now, listen to Boaz. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. He gladly acknowledges it. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. How'd he know that? He'd been doing a little investigating. He was ready for this. Tarry this night. It shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well. When Boaz thought that over, he wondered what he could do. And there was nothing for him to do. All he could say was, well. I tell you, his heart went all the way down into his socks at this time. In fact, right down in this well that he's talking about. Well. Then he says, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. She lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Actually, he doesn't want this other kinsman to know. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. When she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, laid it on her. She went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? Now, I have to smile when I read some of the commentators try to explain this. They say, well, the reason that Naomi said, who art thou, is it was dark and she didn't know her. My friend, she would know her daughter-in-law when she came home, I can assure you, because she was expecting her. When she said here, who art thou, my daughter, it wasn't because she didn't know her. What she's really saying is this. I sent you to do this. You were reluctant to go. Now, who art thou, my daughter? Are you Mrs. Boaz or not? Was I right or was I wrong? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty to thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be at rest until he have finished the thing this day. Now what she says to this girl is this. She says, Ruth, you've claimed him as your kinsman redeemer. This is all you can do. You can sit and rest. And you can rest because he will do all the work for you. He will become your kinsman redeemer. May I say to you, you can rest today in his redemption because he will not rest, nor did he rest, until that day on the cross he cried out, it's finished. What's finished? Well, your redemption. And he talks about today we can enter into his rest by trusting him. He uttered 7 last words there upon the cross as he died. Have you yet uttered that one word to him that you trust him, that you're resting in what he's done for you? Oh, how comfortable, how wonderful, how gracious it is that he has wrought out our redemption, and we are told today to accept and receive him as Savior and to enter into his rest. We leave off at that particular juncture and pick up at chapter 4, the last chapter, next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Yes, God gives grace and rest. Our prayer is that you experience that rest today, a rest only found in knowing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to the end of our study in Ruth tomorrow, just a reminder that you can spend more time in this section of God's Word when you download our Bible Companion for Ruth. It's available in the resources section of ttb.org for free. Just click on the booklets tab. And while you're there, why don't you also download our Bible Companion for Acts as well? Our new study begins on Thursday, so now is a great time to download it. Again, visit ttb.org to download both of those resources anytime. And while you're there, I hope you'll spend a little more time perusing our virtual aisles. There are so many different resources. Most of them are available for free, and a few of them are for sale. One of those is our Bible Bus flash drive. Now, that contains all of Dr. McGee's messages in our five-year study. It also contains his notes and outlines and more than 100 of his most popular booklets. It's really a great gift to introduce someone that you love to Through the Bible and an easy way to take Dr. McGee with you on the go. So, if we can help you find any of these resources online or maybe answer any questions about this fruitful ministry, just give us a call. 1-800-65-BIBLE's the number. You can always email us. BibleBus@ttb.org is that email. And again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE or BibleBus@ttb.org. You know that we always love to hear from you. Now, don't miss the last study in the beautiful story of Ruth next time. I'm Steve Schwetz, as always, so grateful to be traveling through the whole Word of God with you. Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260 CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
This is Reverend Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God. Hallelujah. We're located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Now stay tuned to the broadcast because you're going to be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Once again, we thank the Lord. But it's glorious opportunity. No matter where you are, what you're doing, God is right there where you are. And I just want to tell you today that he loves you, and his divine purpose was to come and bring deliverance to humanity. Even those that didn't even know him, he came to seek and save that which was lost. So the enemy tried to stop everything, but he could not block the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus has power, more power than one could ever imagine. So I want to speak to you today, glory to God, concerning the warfare that is going on in the lives of all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And not only that, is that the enemy is trying to stop you from carrying out the mandate that God has given you as a child of God. So we want to pray right now and break the powers of darkness and continue to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and make certain by his word that we are able to carry out the mandate. Father, once again, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, and we give you praise and honor and glory, because without you, we could do nothing. We are nothing without you. But Lord, we know that we are never without you, because you've already said in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you would even be with us until the end of the world. So right now we put the adversary, our opponent, Satan, on notice right now that he cannot have not one child of the eternal God. He cannot have one child. He has no power over them. He cannot have them. Children of families that have gone astray, he cannot have them, because the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost breaks the chains of bondages in their lives, and God wants them, praise God, and he's going to get them through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and praise you for everything. Go right now into the prison cells and the automobiles and nursing homes and wherever folks are right now that's in bondage by the adversary. We take authority right now in the name of Jesus over every demon that's trying to hinder or cause confusion, or trying to block the airways where the gospel cannot be preached. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We take that authority, and you said in your word, Father, whatsoever is bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever that is loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Right now, we take the word of God and speak it through the airways into the hearts of the hearers that have opened up their hearts to receive your word in Jesus' mighty name. And we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise forever and forever. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity. Glory to God. We want to look at spiritual warfare here today. Glory to God. Because many of us are encountering all kinds of forces that are coming up against us as children of God. But I want to tell you out there in radio land that God is good. His love and mercy endures forever. And he tries to block the minds. God, the enemy tries to block the minds of God's people. But I want to tell you, we're walking with the mind of Christ. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. The word of God says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are to be led by the God's Spirit, praise the Lord. And his Spirit is all powerful. He dwells on the inside of us as children of God.
Amen.
Glory to God. And Apostle Paul, glory to God, in this sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, praise the Lord, we just want to revisit that and look at how powerful the word of God is and the instructions that's been given to us by Apostle Paul concerning this spiritual warfare. Every one of us, day in and day out, as children of God, are going through warfare, whether we realize it or not. And many times the people are looking at things and they don't really know that they are engaged in warfare until something tragically happened to them, and then they wake up. But I want to tell you today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God, He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The enemy wants to take you back, but God says, no, it's not going to happen, because the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did for us on Calvary's cross, glory to God, He dropped all of the charges that were against us, that the enemy held us in bondage. But I want to tell you, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen. We have the victory.
Yes,
glory to God. And we give the Lord all that praise and honor and glory. Hallelujah. Because we are victorious only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do this thing in our own selves, but only because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us. This is why we lift up Jesus. Glory to God. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ and Him crucified. He is the one. He's the power. He's the anointed. He is everything. Glory to God. And Minister of Glory, I want to tell you today that the Lord God Almighty,
yes,
has given us that authority.
Yes, He has.
And that's that power, praise God, because any demonic force that will come up against the members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power, praise God, and we have the victory that has taken place because Jesus did it on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
And this is why Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church of Rome there, glory to God, he told them, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our strength not come only our ability, but our strength comes from the Lord, praise God. The might and the power is of God. That's why in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, the word of God tells us that the treasures, this thing is in, the treasures are in earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels, glory to God. And the excellency of the power is not of us, it is of God. Glory to God. That power that's resonating on the inside of us is of God Almighty. Praise the Lord. And we stand firm that the victory has already been won. We're not trying to fight for the victory. The victory already been won. It was won at Calvary's cross. Glory to God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said the Lord Jesus Christ. He won the victory. Praise God. We are no match for the devil, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have power over the devil.
Yes.
Glory to God. Because Jesus defeated him at Calvary's cross. And I want to tell you, I thank God for everything that has been done, because if we mere mortals are trying to fight that type of a spirit, it's an impossibility. But I want to tell you today, in Christ Jesus, we have the victory over the forces of hell. Glory to God. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, defeated the powers of darkness on Calvary's cross. And many of us today, we fail to understand that what has taken place only through and by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He blotted out the handwritings and the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us by taking it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. What a mighty God we serve.
Yes,
glory
we do.
To God.
Hallelujah.
Our hope, our trust, and our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else, nothing less but Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Glory to God. So Paul is telling the church of Ephesus, glory to God, he said, finally. Otherwise, when we hear the word finally, we know that this is the last time that I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to bring these truths to you. So we finalize everything by telling you what Apostle Paul was telling the church of Ephesus, in which we have received as children of God. He said, finally, my brethren, He's talking to church folk. He's talking to you and I. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are many folks out there in Radio Land may not be a child of God, but I want to tell you the warfare that's going on. Satan is trying to take you to hell with him. But I want to tell you today, because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the eternal God, the risen Savior, hallelujah, and ascended Lord came into this earth realm to bring deliverance to all of us as children of God. And Apostle Paul is bringing this thing out here with very good clarity. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He never said be strong in your own ability or your own strength. He said to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Glory to God. This is what we use. We use the power of Almighty God. We are no match for all of these forces of hell. But I want to tell you today, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that he has invested in us, ministry of glory,
yes,
as children of God, we are able to stand.
Yes.
I said stand, mm-hmm, glory to God. Not run, mm-hmm, but stand against the powers of evil, glory to God. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You see, I want to tell you today, you got to get dressed up in Jesus, mm-hmm, if you want to be able to withstand all these forces, mm-hmm, that are out here. They are invisible, disembodied spirits that are moving about. We cannot see them with our natural eyes. They're all around you. They're doing all kinds of things. When folks have mishaps and tragedies, and I want to tell you, they say, oh, well, God knew what was going on. Let me tell you something. That's a demonic force that's bringing destruction, and all we must do is open our eyes and see what the Word of God is telling us, that we wrestle. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Ooh, I say we wrestle not. Mm-hmm. When we put on this armor, glory to God, I want to tell you, it's nothing but Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing but Jesus, glory to God. This whole armor of God represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. In Mr. Glory, he says here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole. He didn't say go halfway. He said put on the whole armor of God.
And keep it on.
And keep it on.
Amen.
Praise God. Every day and every night, glory to God, you should say, Lord, I thank you for the whole armor of God, the completeness of God's armor. God's armor has all kinds of power, praise God, that is able to strengthen you and to keep you, glory to God. And I want to tell you, hallelujah, that the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost is able to strengthen every child of God against every force of hell. Listen to what I'm telling you out there in Radio Land. These are invisible, disembodied spirits that's trying to habitate your body. They're trying to come into you and live. But I want to tell you today, we have power against them.
Amen.
Glory to God. When we get dressed up in Jesus,
mm-hmm,
these forces see who we are.
Yes.
Glory to God. They see the truth of what's going on. Praise God. And I tell you, a lot of places here, folks are talking about, well, that's just something that happened. No, it's not. God is good.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God is good. And everything that's happening that's good, it's of God. But I want to tell you, there's a bad devil out there. And people don't realize what's going on. He is a powerful devil. But I tell you today, as a child of God, he does not have power over us as children of God. I tell you, God Almighty, hallelujah, he is able, glory to God, hallelujah. He's able, my God, to give us that strength and power that we are able to withstand the forces of hell. I said the forces of hell. Now, what was Paul saying here? He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In other words, he would not have said this if folks weren't strong.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put on this whole armor of God.
Amen.
That you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. These are tricks and deception and that the adversary uses. He speaks to the minds of people, even Christians. He speaks to their mind and divert the plan of God by lying to them and telling them that, well, you can do this thing on your own. We cannot do anything on our own. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the power of the eternal God. We need the word of God operating in our lives that we are able to do God's will.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So he said to stand against the wiles of the devil. And many folks today, they're looking around Minister Glory and they're saying, well, I don't like that person. They get on my nerve. But let me tell you something. Apostle Paul is telling us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen to what I'm saying out there in Radio Land there. I'm speaking to the saved and unsaved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The fight is not against your neighbor. It's not against the person that you see in the natural. No, they are just being used by demonic spirits. But let me tell you something. God is good. Glory to God. I said God is good.
Amen.
And he's given us divine instructions that if we lie and cheat and tell all of these things here, then that's not the spirit of the living God. Because God wants us to walk and operate in truth, glory to God. I said in his truth, not in facts, but in truth. And we want to glorify God. So Paul's telling us here, first of all, we have to put on this whole armor. When you get dressed up in Jesus, you have the whole armor of God on you. Glory to God. In Minister Gloria, when it says here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. I said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. The person next to you is not your enemy. He is your neighbor. And you don't fight against him. When they're being used by demonic forces, you rebuke those spirits in the name of Jesus. I said you rebuke those spirits in the name of Jesus. And a lot of them, they are being bound up and not realizing who is governing their lives when God Almighty should be governing their lives as a child of God. Folks that are not saved, not born again, we understand that they have been carried away with the forces of darkness. But I tell you right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, I bind every spirit, a mind-controlling spirit right now. In Jesus' mighty name, I command it to loose your hold off of that person. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. You foul, tormenting spirit, in the name of Jesus, loose your hold off of God's property. You don't belong. They don't belong to you. You have no power over them. And in the name of Jesus, we command it to be so by the authority of the word of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the name of Jesus. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. My God. Principalities, princes in palaces. Let me tell you something. Principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world. This spiritual warfare, Minister Glory, I'm telling you, this thing is it's nothing to play with.
No, it's not.
It is nothing to play Mm-mm. with because it's a serious matter. Mm-hmm. And a lot of folks don't realize what's going on.
Thank God Jesus gave us the power. Hallelujah.
Amen. He gave us the power, and he expects us to use the power.
Yes.
We break those powers in the name of Jesus of the forces that are coming up against the church and even people that don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. They are being carried away with demonic spirits, unaware of what the enemy is doing to them. But I tell you today in the name of Jesus, I command the forces of hell to loose its hold off of God's property and off of the sinners out there that's being bound up by powers of darkness.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you. So Paul is saying there that since we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against wicked spirits in high places. And this is why we need this armor on every day. We need the armor on every day. Praise God. The helmet of salvation. We have to realize that we are saved, that we are born again. Glory to God. That God has placed his spirit on the inside of us, not to walk around and say, hook a Messiah. No, that is not what it is. He's given us his spirit that we are able to withstand the forces of hell.
Praise God.
I say the forces of hell. These spirits are real.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine the spirits that are inside of people that are carrying them away from the things of God. can imagine it. But when we put on the whole armor of God, we're able to stand. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the devil, he has no place in any of our lives as children of God. But we allow him to come in and to exercise his ability in our lives as children of God. Why would God give us this armor if he didn't know that the devil has power? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
The devil has power.
Yes.
And we're not trying to say that he doesn't have a power, but the point of the matter is that our power, the power that God has given us, is more powerful than the power of the devil.
Yes, it is.
The word of God tells us that. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said the word of God tells us that. We don't walk around here with our heads hanging down. We realize that we are in spiritual warfare.
Yes.
I said spiritual warfare. And that's why you need the helmet of salvation on. Glory to God. And Paul was telling us the helmet of salvation, that covers your mind. Hallelujah. And that it covers your mind where these fiery darts would be shot into your head. Glory to God. And when I say in your head, I'm talking about your mind. Mm-hmm. Listen to what I'm saying here. The helmet of salvation. Get saved. Glory to God. If you're not saved, get saved. And you can occupy and walk with the authority and the power of Almighty God in your life. Praise God. The helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. Glory to God. I said the breastplate of righteousness. You can walk in the righteousness of God when you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. I said in your life. And the decisions that you will be making will be decisions that will line itself up with what the word of God is saying and give God all the glory.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it
is. This whole armor is the whole armor of God. And Apostle Paul is giving to us. Now, we know that Apostle Paul, in his imprisonment, he looked at a Roman soldier, and this is how this whole armor came about. He looked at the Roman soldier, and he said, well, he has a helmet on to protect his head. My God. So now Paul says here, we have the helmet of salvation. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Praise God. Praise God. So when we get engaged in this spiritual warfare, we have to be suited up the way that God wants us suited up so that we can engage in this warfare. A lot of folks today, they don't realize they're in a battle. I said they don't realize that they're in a battle. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, glory to God. The Bible tells us, hallelujah, that we are to take authority right now over all these things that are happening that's not of God.
Yes.
God is a good God, and there's a bad devil out there. And what he's doing is that he's trying to take as many people to hell with him. But I want to tell you, by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm speaking both to sinners and saints. There's no difference here in terms of what I'm saying here, because the Holy Spirit, he is God in this earth realm, and he convicts the sinner and the saint. He convicts the sinner because he does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he convicts the saint because they've done something wrong and they need to repent of what they've done. Amen.
Amen.
All of this is spiritual warfare, and where is this being done? It's right between your ears, your mind.
Yes, Lord.
That's where the battle is fought, between your mind. A lot of people say, well, they're looking for the devil in a red suit with a pitchfork. The devil, that's no devil.
No.
That's somebody in a costume. But let me tell you something. The devil is a demonic spirit. He is a spirit. And I want to tell you, we have power over that spirit in the name of Jesus. Mr. Glory, I was reading there in Luke 10 in verse 19. Glory to God. Luke 10, the 10th chapter. You remember when Jesus sent out the 70 and they came back rejoicing? But I want to tell you, in the 19th verse, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power,
yes,
to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, Jesus said the enemy has power, but he's given us power over all the power of the enemy. And he said that nothing shall by any means hurt us.
Praise,
glory to God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. What a God that we serve.
Oh, yes.
That has given us everything that we need to walk this Christian journey. Mm-hmm. He's given us the power, his power. Mm-hmm. Praise God that he's invested in us as children of God. And we're to walk around here not saying, well, we just save and we forget about the lost. No, the whole idea is that the power that we have that God has invested in us is to go out here to win souls for the kingdom of God and not allow any of the forces of hell to stop us from preaching and teaching and telling people how good God is and what he's done for them. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we serve a mighty God.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said we serve a mighty God.
Amen.
We love him.
Yes.
And we thank him for it. Praise God. The helmet of salvation, Paul was telling us, in the breastplate of righteousness. Having our loins girded about with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And taking on the shield of faith, which is able to quench every fiery dot that the enemy will shoot at you. In other words, these thoughts that come into your mind, they are not your thoughts. They are thoughts of the adversary trying to speak to you, to tell you lies. But thank God for his word. Oh, my Lord, I said, thank God for his word.
Hallelujah.
His word is clear. And anytime thoughts come into our mind that it's not of God, we are to cast these thoughts down.
Cast them down.
Amen. That's what Paul said in the second Corinthians 10 in verse 5. He says that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we thank the Lord for everything. I see that our time has slipped away. I haven't gotten into all the armors, but let me tell you something. The whole armor is good. Put it on and keep it on. Praise God. Every day in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mr. Glory, we have 30 seconds here just to extend an invitation to those out there in radio land that will be able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of his word.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. But what saith if the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart? And that is the word of faith which we preach. Praise God. Open up your hearts right now. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Praise
For
God.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in Jesus' name, by faith.
And you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is open up your heart and say, Jesus, come in and take my life and do something with it, in Jesus' name. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church. Located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.